This is Radio Boston. I'm Meghna Chakrabarty.
And I'm Anthony Brooks. If you're like most of us, you're probably pretty busy, maybe even too busy. In fact, it's a fair bet that you're listening to Meghna and me right now in your car, rushing from one appointment to another. You have a full-time job, household chores, maybe kids, and it all adds up to too much to do.
And too little time to do it. Let's face it, as Americans, we are stressed. We might think that we want more money, a better job, a bigger house, but what's really in short supply is time. Time for work, time for family, time for ourselves, time to get it all done, at least definitely, that is the way it feels.
So what's the best way to feel like you have a little extra time? You can Google that very question, as I did earlier today, and what you come up with are the usual nostrums about time management. Make a list, set priorities, learn to say no, limit distractions.
And maybe all those ideas can help. But here's a new idea. Volunteer. On top of all that you have to do, give your time away. I know, it sounds counterintuitive. I mean, why would loading yourself up with yet another commitment make you feel like you have more time?
And yet, it does, at least according to our next two guests, who've done some fascinating experiments about all of this. Their conclusions were part of a recent ideas column in the Boston Globe that grabbed our attention. And they have a lot to do with the distinction between objective time, what the clock actually tells us, and our subjective sense of time, or how it all makes us feel. So maybe they can offer us some new ways to solve our time problem. Michael Norton is an associate professor of business administration at the Harvard Business School. And welcome to Radio Boston, Michael Norton. Great to have you.
Thanks so much.
And Cassie Mogilner is an assistant professor of marketing at the University of Pennsylvania, the Wharton School of Business. She's got a background in psychological science. And welcome to you, Cassie Mogilner. Great to have you.
Great. Thanks so much.
And let me start with you, Cassie. I want to hear about these experiments that we mentioned about all of this. But first of all, what prompted you to explore this idea that giving away time might have the paradoxical effect of easing the pressure of too little time?
Sure. Well, one of the things, as you had sort of mentioned and built upon, was our interest in conducting this research in general, which was basically this observation that we are so time constrained and stressed out by that. And so we were interested in what are ways that we can expand the amount of time that we feel that we have. And we approached this basically with a counterintuitive prediction that giving time away would make us feel that we have more time. And our reasoning was based on previous research that has found that spending time on others makes us feel more effective and competent and efficacious. And that combined with other research that suggests that when a particular period of time is filled with more events or more activities, then that period of time feels longer. So putting that together, we were wondering if spending time on others makes us feel like we have accomplished a lot and that we can do a lot with our time, then the time that we have in general and the time that we have extending out into the future would perhaps feel more expansive. And so that's what we explored.
And Michael Norton, I'm interested, two business professors, thinking about time and our perception of it. Give us your perspective on sort of what brought you to this study.
I think one of the things that you mentioned in your intro is the idea that in general, and especially when you think about business gurus, there's book after book on exactly as you said, time management and answer these emails this quickly and leave these kinds of tasks for later and schedule meetings every 15 minutes and all kinds of tips like this to manage the amount of time that you have. The problem really is, though, that unlike with money, so if I work harder, maybe I could make some more money next year. No matter how hard I work today or what I do today, there's still only going to be 365 days next year and there's still only 24 hours in a day. So no matter how effective I get with my time, I can't get more time. And that's what led Cassie and I to start to think about, well, if we can't actually get more objective time, what can we do to change people's feelings of subjective time? You're always going to be running around from thing to thing when you've got your job and your kids and all sorts of other things. Can we help people feel a little bit less stressed about having to accomplish all of those things in any given day? And the idea was, if you give your time away to other people, as Cassie said, you start to feel more like you're capable of doing all of those things, and therefore your list of 87 things you need to get done today feels a little bit less daunting.
So this very counterintuitive idea that we're stressed, we feel like we don't have enough time, so we're going to actually volunteer and add to everything we have to do by giving our time away, paradoxically makes us feel like we have more time. And you guys did some experiments that really back this up. Can you tell me about those? Cassie, let me come back to you.
Sure. So we compared giving time to other baselines that we actually thought might also signal that one has time, but is not necessarily related to this feeling of self-efficacy. So we compared giving time to wasting time. So for example, in one study, we had a group of participants either spend 5 minutes writing notes to sick children, and then we sent those notes, and that was a giving time condition. And we compared that with wasting time, where we had another sample of participants spend those same 5 minutes circling E's in sort of nonsense sentences, and it was framed as a filler task. And then we measured perceptions of time. How much time do you feel like you have? And then we actually wanted to take it out and into the field. So that first study was with student participants, and we wanted to see if giving time or spending time in one's day compared to what might also signal that you have time, namely spending time on yourself, how that would play out in perceptions. And so
before we go out in the field, I'm intrigued by the first sort of phase of this experiment. So you had one group of people doing a sort of menial, meaningless task, underlining E's in a Latin text. And the other group is actually doing something useful and sending letters, composing letters to sick children. And how are their perceptions different about their sense of time?
So we measured how much time that they felt that they had in the future with a bunch of different items. So we asked, for instance, how much time do you feel like you have in the future? How extensive does your future seem to be, et cetera? And what we found was that those who had spent the 5 minutes spending time writing to a sick child reported to have more time in their future than those who spent those same 5 minutes underlining E's.
And then taking this out into the field, what happened?
Sure. So we approached a sample of people, and basically on a Saturday morning at 10 o'clock, we sent them an email giving them instructions. We basically told one group, spend either 10 minutes today or 30 minutes today doing something for someone else that you weren't already planning to do. We told another group of participants, spend 10 or 30 minutes today doing something for yourself that you weren't already planning to do. And then that evening at 10 o'clock, we checked back in with them and we asked how they spent those 10 or 30 minutes, as well as to report how much time that they felt they had, using the same measures of perceptions of time as before. And what we found was when we checked back in, we saw that those who spent time on others, it was actually quite lovely doing this type of research, because you are impacting how people are making people more generous with their time. And so people did things, you know, like doing something nice for their spouse, cooking their favorite meal, helping their neighbor by, you know, shoveling the snow off their yard, picking up litter in the park. So in your openings, you mentioned that it was about volunteering, but this actually suggests that it's spending time either on strangers or on those that you know. Compared to those who spend time on themselves, they did things that were more indulgent, you know, getting a massage, getting a pedicure, going for a run, you know, cleaning out their email, things that they viewed as spending time on themselves. And then what we found was that those who spent either 10 or 30 minutes, it actually didn't matter how little the amount of time was or how much, they felt like they had more time than those who spent 10 or 30 minutes spending time on themselves.
Fascinating. And so, Michael Norton, what does that suggest about the big picture and what this might suggest about, I don't know, I mean, can we ask as big a question as how to improve society? I mean, I think we generally think about volunteering as doing the right thing or of contributing, of giving something back. But this research suggests that it's beneficial for the giver of that extra time. It's beneficial for the person who's volunteering.
I think that's right. And, you know, we really wanted to be tough on ourselves and make, because, of course, taking time for yourself is not a bad thing to do. It's just that maybe it doesn't work out as well as we might think it does for helping us feel less stress. So, in fact, in another experiment, we gave people extra time. So they actually signed up for a long experiment and we let them go early. So it's as though I'm giving you more time in your life that you didn't expect to have. And you would think that that would really help people, like, oh, now I have more time. I can get everything done. This is going to be a great day. But if you think about what you would have done with those 15 minutes and what I would do as well, I probably would have just surfed the web or taken a nap or some other really unproductive thing that wouldn't really help me with my time. So often we think that if we can get more free time, it's going to help us a lot. But if we don't use it well, it's not going to do anything for us. It's the story of people who make lists about what they need to do all day and never actually do anything. They just keep making the lists. The idea with this giving time away is that maybe you wouldn't think it would help you, but because you do productive things during that time, it has a big impact on you as the giver, as you said. And as Cassie mentioned, the nice thing about giving time is it also helps somebody else in many cases. So you get not only benefits to you, but benefits to whichever person you helped with your time.
Listeners, we want to hear from you. What do you make of this idea? Do you give your time away on a regular basis? If so, how? And does it make you feel that you actually have more time? Or are you like a lot of us who say, I'd love to volunteer, but I just don't have the time? Give us a call at 800-423-8255. That's 800-423-TALK. You can also find us on Facebook and Twitter at Radio Boston. Joining me is Michael Norton. He's an associate professor of business administration at Harvard Business School, and Cassie Mogilner. She's an assistant professor of marketing at the University of Pennsylvania's Wharton School of Business. So I'm intrigued, and Michael Norton, let me stay with you. You know this expression, time flies when you're having fun. do we make from that if we're having too good a time, we're going to be having too much fun, time is going to fly too much, we're going to feel like we don't have nearly enough time? In other words, is that somehow related to this idea of doing work for other people?
It is. And in fact, there's some interesting research by some other colleagues of ours who actually show that it's not just true that time flies when you're having fun, but also that when you're having fun, time flies. So if they make people do tasks that are really fun versus not as fun, and this makes a lot of sense to us. So if you watch a movie you really like, it feels much shorter than if you watch a movie that you hate, which feels like I've been in this movie theater for 10 days. And that's a great thing. So it's a good feeling to feel like you're having fun and the movie's going quickly and those things are fun. The problem is that when time feels like it's going really quickly, in the context of feeling stressed about your life, you'd kind of like time to slow down a little bit. And right. The more you do these indulgent things like get a massage, those things are fun and great. But if they're making time speed up, you're ultimately in real trouble when you leave the massage because you get in your car and you panic all over again about how much you have to do in the rest of the day.
Mm. Cassie Mogilner, I'm curious, does it matter who the recipient of your time is? In other words, are there greater effects if you're helping, say, a stranger versus an acquaintance or a family member or a friend?
No, it doesn't matter. And so we've looked at both in the study that I described where people decided who they were going to spend their time to. We saw that they gave time to strangers, they gave time to loved ones, and there wasn't a difference. And also in another study, we actually instructed them to either spend time on someone that they didn't know or spend time on someone that they know well. And we saw that irrespective of who they gave their time to, this positive effect occurred.
Interesting. And what about the activities? Are all activities considered equal, or does the nature of the time-giving task affect the amount of time someone perceives to have afterwards?
Well, it largely depends on, well, to the extent that you're giving time to someone else, it's likely to make you feel effective and competent and capable, which is what's driving this effect. So to the extent that you're giving time to someone in any way that makes you feel effective, then it suggests that it actually doesn't matter how the time is spent. If, however, you're giving time to someone, and we haven't actually tested this, but based on this mechanism of self-efficacy, if you're giving time to someone and it they are not grateful or that it feels like a waste of time because you're not having any impact and therefore it doesn't increase that feeling of efficacy, then this effect is not likely to occur.
Interesting. It raises this related issue of overhelping, which we've all experienced, where someone believes that they are doing us favors and instead they're just irritating us. So right. You very helpfully comment on my appearance every day.
Yeah.
And the question is, if the person doing the commenting feels as though they're being helpful, as long as they feel effective, it's likely to make them feel good about their time. It's not at all clear in those cases that it's good for the recipient to be receiving that help.
Mm. And Michael, what about, is it important to make a distinction or is there a distinction about feeling like you have more time and feeling less stressed? In other words, is this a way to de-stress?
So we didn't look specifically at how it relates to kind of your overall feelings of stress in your life. We can show that when people do too much giving time away, so when they feel that they have so much to do and on top of that they have to do these other things, it's not nearly as effective as if they have some time, a little bit of slack time in their day. I think the important thing to realize, though, you know, some of the studies that we did, it's 10 minutes of volunteering or 10 minutes of doing something nice for somebody else. It's not as though when you think about giving time away, which is what we all think is, geez, I have to go for an entire weekend and help build a house out in the cold. Mm. Even these little small activities can really change the way you feel about your time. It's very interesting to think about how they change the way you feel about stress in general.
Very interesting. Michael Norton and Cassie Mogilner are my guests. We're talking about the effect, how volunteering, how giving time away can actually make you feel like you have more time. It's an intriguing idea, particularly for our times. Give us a call, 800-423-8255. That's 800-423-TALK. Let's go to Deirdre, who's calling from Needham.
Hi, thank you so much for taking my call.
Sure. What's on your mind, Deirdre?
I just wanted to mention that I'm a licensed acupuncturist, and I've been volunteering with hospice patients to reduce pain and anxiety, and also currently at Rosie's Place in Boston, which is a homeless shelter for women, volunteering to do acupuncture there as well. And I will say that volunteering has just made me feel so wonderful in my day-to-day because I know that, you know, no matter what I'm doing, I'm always, you know, helping other people, and it just makes me feel really great. So,
Deirdre, I can understand why you'd feel good about what you do and about helping other people. Does, though, it make you feel like you have more time?
I make the time. It's a priority for me.
Hmm.
I do it because I know that by sharing my skills and my knowledge and myself, that it makes a better world. So it's a priority for me. And I'm a single mom. I don't make a lot of money, but I make it a priority because it's worth it to me.
Well, Deirdre, thanks so much for the call. We appreciate it. Michael, when you hear Deirdre, is she consistent with the findings that you're talking about here?
First off, I think we should devote an entire show to Deirdre because she's such an amazing person.
But, I agree.
It also made me think one of the lessons in doing this research for me is that we were discovering that, you know, if we send people out to volunteer, they are, you know, feel that they have more time and these other good things happen. And it made me realize that I don't do enough of it myself. And increasingly, when we hear people talking about the amazing things that they do to give time away to other people, which takes all kinds of forms from Rosie's Place to helping your neighbors, that it's a nice reminder that going out and doing these things, again, not only helps the other people that are the recipients, but can help you as well.
It seems like there's this sense of personal agency that's at play here. I mean, this is one thing where you can really feel like you're in control of, you're doing it, you're accomplishing it, and it's making a difference, right?
I think that's right. I think it's, and again, these small acts that you can do, you know, they help someone, you can see the help being received, and I think it makes you feel good and also helps you with your time management.
Well, let's get a couple more callers into this conversation. Maggie is calling from Charlestown. Hi, Maggie.
Hi there. Well, I'm so thrilled to have your guests on today. I volunteer for an organization called Birthday Wishes. I also do some volunteer work for On the Rise, which is an organization that helps homeless women in the Cambridge area. And I'm a preschool music teacher, and so I go for half an hour and I do music entertainment at a birthday party in a homeless shelter. And it's just at the end of the week, to the point of what your guests are saying, you look back and you say, wow, I really did so much. Like, not only did I go to work and take care of my kids, but you did these extra things that to you are really the highlights. For volunteers, we've all known this phenomenon of which your guests are speaking. This is well known among the volunteer community. And I'm thrilled that there's some quantitative, you know, evidence now that we can sort of talk to other people and encourage more volunteerism, because we all know that at the end of the week, I think there's a certain kind of memory to this process that is so reinforced, you know, reinforces this notion of you being a quality person, a productive person, and someone who has some power and some impact.
Maggie, thanks so much for that great call. We really appreciate it. Let's go to Megan, who's calling from Duxbury. Hi, Megan. You're on the air.
Hi. I never call into these radio shows, but I was listening to you talk about this. I just was saying in the car, I'm leaving the hospital. My dad has been diagnosed with cancer, and he had brain surgery on Wednesday. And it's been all hands on deck, you know, involved with helping my dad with every task that he could possibly need, from preparing his rehab center, where he's going to go, making sure the medication's right. And I was just saying, as I was leaving the hospital, you know, I always am stressed. I've got jobs. I've got kids. I'm running around. I feel like I never get anything accomplished. And here I am driving out of the hospital. I feel so accomplished this week. I feel like I've had more time this week than I've ever had, like, in the last 7 together or the last 10 together. And so it just spoke to me when you were talking about this, that this is, like, really does happen. It's like a psyche phenomenon that does happen when you are giving of yourself to someone else.
Well, Megan, thank you so much for the call, and best wishes to you and, of course, to your father. Thanks for that call. Michael, I want to ask, well, actually, let me ask both of you, Michael and Cassie. I'll start with you, Michael. Have either of you implemented your findings in your own lives? And if so, how? We've been hearing great sort of examples, great examples from some of our listeners. What about you guys?
I think that anyone who knows both of us would say that Cassie is a nicer person than me, so maybe we should start with Cassie, and then I can think of something as she's talking.
All right, we'll start with you, Cassie, the nicer one of the two.
Which is not the case, not nearly as nice as your listeners. Yeah, so I actually have, having done this research, I check myself. I don't think I was nearly as generous with my time before as I am now, where now when, you know, requests come up for help from colleagues, friends, I, despite the fact that I feel completely stressed, time constrained, and that I don't have those spare 10 minutes, I remind myself that, in fact, I do. And that, in fact, if I do take those 10 minutes to help out a colleague or a friend, that I will feel like I have more time. Actually, even twice this morning, I caught myself and implemented this. One, that I took 10 minutes to write a note to a friend who's going through a tough time, and I made myself sit down and do it. And another, I was asked by a former professor to write a recommendation letter, and I said yes to both, despite that the fact that the semester is wrapping up and there's a lot of other things I have on my plate.
Well, speaking of time, Cassie Mogilner and Michael Norton, we're just running out of time in this segment. So, Michael Norton, you're off the hook for that last question.
Thank
you both for joining us. Cassie Mogilner, she's an assistant professor of marketing at the University of Pennsylvania's Wharton School of Business. And Michael Norton, associate professor of business administration at the Harvard Business School. Thank you very much for joining us. We appreciate it. Listeners, the conversation continues. You can post your comments at radioboston.org. Stay with us. Coming up, we talk with a jazz pianist who started his career as a trombonist but had to shift directions when disease affected his lips. I'm Anthony Brooks with Meghna Trakrabarty. This is Radio Boston.